Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody. This is Janine, and you're listening to Lunch with Loudon. Coffee Talk Radio shows are part of the Coffee Party Be the Media Project. You can join our team at www.coffeepartyusa.com, be the media. So, today is an interesting day. Last week, at the end of the show, we had a last-minute caller, Bobby Rodrigo, who asked what we thought about what was going on in Ferguson. A great conversation started, but we're intending to go farther with that conversation today. Before we get started with that, though, I want to point to a simple but significant reality. Those of us who embrace the idea that active citizens are a key element if this republic's democracy is to function effectively must also remember that we must be diligent in our actions. Why? Because we are up against a very honest foe. The human tendency to rule out information that does not fit our closely held views. The scholars call this confirmation bias. And Debbie Lynn and I have done shows about this in the past, where it takes consistent, persistent, clear messaging to help people get past that human tendency to resist information they just don't want to believe. I see this at work every day. This is why I have so much respect for our guests today. They stay the course. This is a sometimes thankless job, and I want to acknowledge today and every day active citizens. So thank you. Interview we recorded last night with Dan Johnson, Panda founder and president, in Ferguson now as a citizen journalist. Our second guest, Christina Arriaga. I'm going to ask Christina in a minute to be sure that I've said her name correctly. So without further ado, I'm going to drop us into this, this interview. It's just a little over 20 minutes. It's a rockin' interview, and I think you'll enjoy. Coffee Party on. I'll be back.
It was appalling, and I see that we have Dan Johnson has joined us, so I want to say hello, Dan.
Hello, hello. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah, oh, and, you know, we've already introduced you to our listeners and giving you wonderful accolades for your work with Panda, and what we're here today to talk about is, last time you and I spoke, which was a lot of fun, we were discussing Panda and the movement to stop the NDAA militarization of law enforcement in America. I mean, this is what you've been up to for a while. Would you help our listeners connect the dots between the National Defense Authorization Act and what happened to Michael Brown in Ferguson?
Sure, absolutely. I and Panda don't take a position on the shooting, the initial shooting of Michael Brown in Ferguson, partly because that's not our jurisdiction, that's not our area, and partly because no one has all the facts and the evidence yet. So it's not what that's about. But the important thing that really got our attention was when peaceful people came out to protest that the handling and the lack of transparency about the shooting. The police showed up looking like the military. They showed up acting like the military. And more importantly, they showed up treating their people like the military. Now, we could be a typical D.C. lobbyist group and say, well, okay, well, that doesn't fall within our jurisdiction because they're not under the Department of Defense. And as your listeners probably know, the National Defense Authorization Act declares America a battlefield and gives the Department of Defense the authority to send military members, and particularly the president, to send military members under the DOD anywhere in the country. So even though these police are not under the Department of Defense, you know, we could use that excuse, but I would consider that the utmost in hypocrisy because we are formed to stop a practical action, to stop the military from operating on and treating citizens on people on U.S. soil as enemy combatants or as enemy belligerents or just even really treating them at all. And the police are doing the same thing down here. And now, of course, you have the actual military. You have the National Guard in Ferguson, Missouri. So here, this is what the NDAA looks like. This is what a militarized police force and basically a military and parts of the military look like on an American city. This is America's war zone.
Exactly. And I want to thank you for talking or addressing the fact that you don't take a position on the actual event and what happened to Michael Brown, because I do think you made a key point, which is, you know, we don't know yet. We don't know everything. There's some compelling information out there, but the jury's still out, and I appreciate that. And I agree with you that the bigger issue, not that it's a small issue, the notion that there is a disparity in execution of law enforcement that might be reflect race, socioeconomic status, timing, location, that is a separate question. But the fact that people couldn't exercise their right to assembly and their right to free speech without becoming citizen combatants is what concerns me. And everything that I've read says the more aggressively the police present themselves, the more aggressively the crowd responds. Was that your experience? Is that what you found there?
I will definitely say that that's the case, because if you look at I've interviewed about 60 or 75 residents on camera and many, many, many more off camera. And the consensus is, yes, there is a small criminal element, as we saw mostly from outside of Ferguson, who has come in and looted. The arrest numbers were released last night. I believe it was 48 people out of the 78 or something like that. Only four of them were actually living in Ferguson, but about 48 were outside of the city. And I think it's very important to understand and to note that that's a very small, minuscule criminal element, that the crowd is actually, because the police aren't dealing with them, the crowd is actually getting better at policing themselves. Particularly the Black Panthers have been doing a great job of that. And I'll give credit where credit's due. That being said, with most of the crowd as peaceful protesters, they really have been, there wouldn't be these size of protests that we've seen had at the initial memorial on Sunday, is what they're telling me. On the initial memorial on Sunday night, it was not even a protest, it was a memorial. The police responded with military force. There's police responded with K-9 units, police responded with M-5s, police responded with M-16s, things like that. And that incited the crowd. Some people said it incited the riot. Some people just said it made the crowd angry. And secondly, another great example is on Saturday morning when I got there, the situation was very much under control. We had thousands of people marching peacefully from the Quick Trip down off of West Florissant Street, the main protest drag, about a couple miles up to St. Mark's Church. I joined the march. I took video of that march. And very peaceful protesters. All the talk was about peaceful protests. There were families there. At the burnt-out Quick Trip, there was actually a barbecue. There were some locals just handing out food to everybody. It was a little bit of a festive atmosphere. They're protesting, but it was a very calm situation. The crowd did change a little bit toward the end of the day. But what the biggest change was is that 3 p.m., when Governor Jay Nixon made what I would consider a very grave mistake, he instituted a curfew. The mood and attitude of the people in the crowd changed from let's have a peaceful protest to words slightly stronger than screw the curfew.
That's amazing. That sounds like a terrible logistic error. And I don't know, I try to put myself in the position. What would I do? And I don't know anyone that wouldn't be offended or threatened or angered by sort of this denigrating behavior or treatment. And so I'm a big supporter of law enforcement, so I don't want anyone to think that any other way about me. But I do have a hard time keeping that angle on my eye, so to speak. When I see things that I've seen, and now I hear stories like you just told. I'll tell you what, though, I was really excited to see that you had, well, first I was excited that you were going to Ferguson, but then I was also excited to find your GoFundMe project, Justice for Ferguson, uh-huh. And I thought maybe you could take just a minute to share with people how they might support you through that campaign, and also what you intend to do with the money they donate.
Yeah, absolutely. So I set up a GoFundMe knowing when I left Ohio on Friday, I knew I had to be down here because this is what Panda was made for 2.5 years ago. So I also knew I didn't have the money to be down here. So I went down on faith that people would see this as a worthwhile cause and people would donate to it, and with the purpose of doing whatever I can to help the community. In the first couple days, it was meeting with community leaders, talking with them, getting to know them, getting to talk to the community, getting to understand and trust me. In fact, I just ordered pizza. The Papa John's pizza guy who came to my door was one of the protesters I talked to.
Oh, amazing.
So, it's really cool. So I started to talk to the people, and then the last couple days, the best way I could help was to live stream, because last night there was a peaceful protest that walked from Florissant to the Ferguson Police Department, which is several miles away, or 3 miles away, and then walked back, and they policed themselves. They kept themselves on the right side of the road. They kept themselves marching. There was not even talk necessarily of violence, and I didn't see any mainstream news outlet anywhere. So the best thing I could do was live stream. The live stream that I put up over the past couple days has seen almost 60,000 hits. And I've never live streamed before, so I'm absolutely taken aback by this. But the GoFundMe was set up so that I can be down here and help the community as long as I can. The funds will be used for meals, lodging for myself when I'm down here. And looking at the funds I've gotten in so far, they'll actually, hopefully, be used to buy a better camera to live stream. Because I've been learning, I had to buy another external battery on Monday when I was live streaming because I had one external battery. I thought that'd be enough. I ran out of juice in my phone and in that. And so I bought another one. And so I've been buying electronics on the fly to make sure this stays going. I've been keeping a record of all the receipts, everything that I've paid for so that I am accountable to the people who are helping fund this out here. I'm doing whatever I can to help the community. That doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to be out there live streaming every night, because there's a time when a community just wants to be left alone by the media and wants to recover. That's also what I'm here for. I have political organizing skills. I've talked to several community leaders, and I'll be using them. They'll be using them tomorrow. There's a town hall I'll be at 7 p.m., so if you're in the Missouri area, but there'll be a town hall, and that's at 7 p.m., so actually that's today, so 7 p.m. on Thursday, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help the community down here and continually report, continually update people on the GoFundMe. I'm amazed at the support I've gotten so far. I'm absolutely taken aback and stunned by it. So if I feel comfortable enough that I'll be okay for as long as I need to be down here, I will use a remainder of the money to buy better live streaming equipment when I'm down here, and I may use it for promotional uses for the community. So say I need to print a bunch of flyers, say I need to, you know, whatever, I will post the expenses that I have not used any of the money thus far, but when I start doing it, I will post the expenses of what it's being used for.
Excellent. And so in a way, you know, answered a couple of my questions. Bobby, did you have a question before I have one?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, just so our audience is up to date, that you and I have been in touch daily, of course, because we've worked together for so long now. And we also discussed this trip before you went. You've been live streaming each day, as you talked about, and I know you mentioned to me yesterday that a lot of this stuff is going to go on Panda Television, of course, naturally. But you told me a story yesterday that I'd like you to share with our audience about because you mentioned, for example, the Black Panthers, and we've talked about that because how there, you know, certain mainstream media partisan posts have been on how the Black Panthers, for example, have been promoting the violence, and we talked about that, and you addressed that earlier. But you told me a very good story relevant to that about how the peaceful protesters locked arms, et cetera. And I'd like you to address that to our audience because I think it's important to show how truly peaceful the local residents are.
So as in any case, people, when they rely on a pillar and that pillar is taken from them, they don't immediately adjust. They don't immediately fill the hole left by that pillar. On Friday night, law enforcement in the area was, the captain was replaced instead of the St. Louis County. The captain was replaced by Captain Johnson of the Highway Patrol. That night, the police decided they would not respond to any calls in Ferguson. None. That means if there was an emergency, if there was some looting, if there, they wouldn't respond, period. Interesting message to send to the community, that either you get a military response or none. That night, based on my talks at residents, people realized the police were not going to help them. They're going to have to police themselves and the agitators that are coming through. And it took them a couple days to figure this out, a couple days to get organized. But by last night, they were policing, and actually by Monday night, they were policing themselves. And Monday night, people will see police move in real quick jabs. So you'll see a squad of police move in real quickly, dart in, grab someone, and pull them back. Well, if you look carefully at the feed, at the video, of when this police line is darting in and grabbing people and pulling them back, they're actually the violent agitators, such as the Revolutionary Communist Party, which is down here from Chicago, who are being launched and pushed out of the crowd by protesters locking arms to keep them from turning a peaceful protest into a violent one.
Amazing.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And I saw there was a Twitter feed that I actually posted from somebody who was there on the ground who was also talking about how the crowd was creating human walls, human shields, when they were seeing looting going on whenever they actually caught it. I know that one of the places that the media was talking about that got looted was this convenience store that allegedly Brown and his partner did this strong-arm robbery in. And they apparently, a couple of days later, they went to loot that, and they weren't able to get there on time. But this Twitter feed was talking about witnessing people doing that. And then when you told that story, it just really goes to show how mainstream media, in my view, is not covering this accurately and why what you're doing is so important. I also talked to you before about, because again, we work together in so many aspects of the liberty movement. And one of the things that you heard me address and that we talked about at length was, why wasn't the liberty movement responding to Ferguson the way that we've seen them respond to other incidences, like, for example, in Nevada? And I was wondering what you've seen in that regard since you've been down there, because we haven't talked about that since you've been down there.
I cannot express, being here now for 4 days, I cannot put into words in a polite manner the fury I have right now with those who consider themselves the liberty movement.
All right.
I will give credit to a few organizations. Cop Block is out here. Cop Watch is out here. Film the Police Portland is out here. And like them or to hate them, InfoWars is out here, and they've done excellent coverage.
I've noticed that. I've actually noticed that what I've seen from them.
And interestingly enough, they tend to cover live events very well. They are also at Bundy Ranch. So InfoWars has been consistent. The Missouri branch of Oath Keepers was out here. They have been helping immensely. So I give them a lot of credit. In fact, there is very little bit, but there is some local tea parties in the area organizing a boycott to have people go down to Ferguson and buy from the businesses in the area to help them recover economically.
Fantastic.
So, I've seen a little bit. and Campaign for Liberty also, after I challenged them, I don't know if it was a result of my challenge with, you know, 25,000 people watching, but they, the next day, came out with a statement on the Ferguson incident. So we're starting to see them come out. But the people who should have been on the ground days ago, Canada doesn't have any money. I don't have any money. And yet, I made it here. I mean, you and I were on the phone when I was talking to you about coming. Basically, I decided to come, and within 24 hours, I was choosing whether to come. Within 24 hours, I made my decision. And
well, you know where I personally stand on this. You know how adamant I was on this issue, and of course, I've been talking about it throughout the Liberty community, the constitutional community, because, you know, it's exactly somebody posted something today. You might have seen it. Where, as a matter of fact, it was in Coffee Party. You know, where is the NRA, for example, when this is exactly what they talk about? Because why aren't they involved in this? Because this is a quote-unquote black community. And I don't even like to go that far. I could, you know, for me, it doesn't, and just like it is for you, the color of the community is irrelevant. When it's a liberty issue, that should never even come into question. It's about what's going on, as you pointed out. So.
I can't be on here for very long, and I don't mean to cut you off, but
no, it's okay.
I'm not going to be able to be on here for very long. It may be irrelevant to you and I, but I guarantee you who's getting the message loud and clear.
Yeah.
People are Ferguson.
Well, I have one final thing to ask. Final thing to ask. What can we as active citizens do? Obviously, we can support your GoFundMe campaign to keep you help us stay informed. I have posted your live stream link on Lunch with Loudon, and it'll be on the Coffee Party page, main page tomorrow. What more can we do to support what's happening in Ferguson?
If you don't mind, I'll address that question in a second. I don't, have to run now. I have, 8 minutes. So
okay,
if you don't mind, I'll address that question in toward the end if you want to ask that again. But this needs to be said. If the liberty movement wants to be legitimate, it needs to be consistent.
That's correct.
And what the community sees here, because they know about Bundy Ranch, don't think they don't know about it. They know what happened there. They know who showed up there. They were waiting for that support in Ferguson. I have talked to people in the community who were waiting for the militia to show up, who were waiting for the Tea Party to show up, who were waiting for people to show up because they didn't buy the narrative that the Tea Party raised racist, or they didn't buy the narrative that they were only there for a right-wing cause. And they have been let down. They have been disappointed. And I've been out here on the street for days running into only the liberty organizations I just mentioned. You know, I've been calling out organizations on my live stream already. I don't need to call out specific names anymore. The amount that you could fit all the liberty movement people here into 3 hotel rooms. And that, I'm going to be as reasonable as possible. For someone who believes every human being is born with the absolute liberty to do what they want with their life, and where there is a threat to liberty anywhere, we must do whatever we can to get there, particularly in our own country, particularly in the middle of the country. It's not even like it's in California for the people on the East Coast, particularly in the middle of the country, that I cannot express into words the fury I have with the people out there who have stood down purposefully because, oh, what will the media think of us? Oh, what will, you know, I've heard that over and over again from groups. Oh, well, what will the media think of us? They'll think we're siding with the looters. Well, sometimes you have to lose a little PR to protect liberty, and you guys need to be down here.
Well, and we'll
I'll
do my part in getting your request out. You know, we're good. We'll promote the show, and we'll promote what you have to say. I think it's very important for those of us that want to give the benefit of the doubt to each other, to the integrity of our various political persuasions, that we actually are who we say we are, and that we try to take each other on that face value. And then when we don't behave accordingly to our values. There is a big question, isn't there? And, you know, I don't want to, I'm not in a position to point fingers like you are. I don't have the personal experience you have. But it hurt my heart when there was a disparity in response to the situation. So I'm right there with you. And I appreciate you being so candid about the details. So you have just a couple minutes left with us. What would you like to say as we go out?
Yeah, I want to address your question of what can people do? So people are here, if they knew about that, I'm not talking earlier to those people who didn't really know what to do. That's fine. I know there are groups out there who willingly stood down, those who I was talking to. So with people who want to do something but don't know what to do, I'll throw a few suggestions. I'm not one to tell people what to do. I'll throw out a few suggestions. Number one is start a town hall in your community, police militarization. We've seen town halls pop up in Austin, Dallas, Pennsylvania. We've signed protests in all the way from Boston, New York City to Atlanta. CNN's protest headquarters in Atlanta had thousands of people in front of it a couple days ago. So
they did.
Start something in your community about the broader picture, which is the police militarization and the militarization of the enforcers in this country and bringing in the military on this country as well. Start the conversation in your community about police militarization, about the dangers of it. Even if you do side with the officer in this case, or even if you do think the police had to come in and control the looters, what happens in your community when there are no looters? You know, this is not the first time the police have come out. This is the militarized police have come out. This is one of the first times in the past couple of years, at least, the mainstream media has actually covered it. So go out in your community and start a conversation about Ferguson there. That is the best thing. That's what I've heard from a couple people down here. But that, number one. Number two, get the word out. Make sure people are watching the feeds. Make sure people are watching the live streams down here. I have a live stream. I Am Mike Brown is a great live stream down here. InfoWars, Real Alex Jones is a great live stream down here. Revolutionary, Rebel, as in not Rebel, but Rebel. Revolutionary is a great live stream down here. These are all wonderful streams down here that you can watch, real citizen journalists. And then finally, if you're a citizen journalist who can cover this, please get down to Ferguson. Please come down here and talk to these people. Please hear what they have to say. Please give them a voice, because really no one else is. Mainstream media cherry-picks certain people out of the crowd, but people in Ferguson have just been so eager to talk. Like they've never said, oh, well, who are you? Well, what are you trying to get, put a camera in my face for? They've just been so eager to talk, which tells me their story's not being heard. And if you can, if you have political organizing experience, come down to Ferguson. If you have a way to get the word out, come down to Ferguson. If not, start the conversation on your Facebook page. Start the conversation on your Twitter. Start the conversation in your community doing a town hall. Remember, we have a turning point here. The camel sticking its nose out of the tent. We can either allow them to do this and set a precedent for every police department in the country that this is how you handle a protest, or we have the best chance right now to hit the nose of that camel, push it back in the tent, and start getting your communities to either get rid of or put very, very strict use policy on their military hardware for their police department. We can push back the most greed and raw sense of tyranny that this country's experienced in the past several years.
Brilliant. Thank you very much.
Appreciate you being on, Dan, as always. And, of course, I'll look forward to talking to you and doing more check-ins tomorrow until I see you. And
all right.
And be safe and continue to do the good work that you do.
I will
do that. People Against the NDAA, PandaUnite.org, wonderful team all over the country, taking back their towns from the NDAA. Again, PandaUnite.org. You can find us on Twitter, @PandaUnite, Facebook.com/PandaUnite. And if you want to watch the live stream, just put in Google, Ustream.com, and Feelin', So Fly, you'll find it on Ustream. Thanks so much for having me on.
You're very welcome. And all those links are on Lunch with Loudon, Coffee Party Facebook page. Thanks. Good night, Dan.
Good night.
You were...
Well, we're back with you live. That was a taped interview last night with Dan Johnson, founder and president of Panda and citizen journalist on the ground in Ferguson. The second voice that you heard was Bobby Rodrigo, who is a Coffee Party volunteer and also involved with Panda. So now we're back to sort of phase two of our show today, and I'm very thrilled to have with us Christina Arechiga. Christina, tell me if I did your name correctly, and if not, please correct me.
You did perfect.
Oh, yay. well, Christina became a citizen activist after the police shooting of her cousin and good friend, Ernesto Dunes. And I know that Dan mentioned in his interview, Christina, that his organization, Panda, which really focuses on the militarization of police response strategy, outfitting, all of that, is sort of withholding a position on the shooting itself so far. But I know that your involvement as an active citizen looks more closely at that part of the equation as well, to what some people would call police brutality or other people would call appropriate police behavior. And so why don't we start today with you sharing how it was you became an active citizen.
Okay. Thanks for having me on. And I'm in California. My cousin Ernest Duenas Jr. was murdered on June 8, 2011 by John Moody of the Manteca PD. My cousin was unarmed. He was exiting a vehicle when John Moody rolled behind him with no lights, no siren, and in 4 seconds, as my cousin's foot had got stuck in a seatbelt as he was exiting, John Moody ran up on him and shot him in 4 seconds 11 times in his back, his head, and his chest, killing him. And if that wasn't bad enough, everything that happened after that, it just got worse. And the way that he was treated by the police as he was dying, and the way that my family was treated by our government as we tried to get answers. So I definitely know what the people in Ferguson are feeling like, how they feel as far as the injustice and how hurtful that is, how it feels to be treated like you're less than human by police officers because of the color of your skin. And so that just basically tipped me off to not be able to live without fixing what was wrong in our communities that would allow these things to happen.
I have to tell you, Christina, that I watched the video you sent of your cousin's shooting death, and I was horrified. I cried, and I have to tell you, I'm a little choked up right now because it was a very difficult experience to witness. How his family wasn't allowed to help him, how his, you know, it was just a horrific experience. And I can see, you know, how that brings you to a place where you would have empathy for what's happening in Ferguson. But, you know, I'm so impressed that what you just said was, I couldn't live with myself if I didn't do something. And our hope in Lunch with Loudon and in Coffee Party in general is to help people make that step from being overwhelmed by the situation to being active in the resolution of that situation. I know you've done a lot in California. Maybe you could share some of that with us.
Sure. I'm kind of choked up, too, whenever I do interviews or talk about him because I have that video in my mind and I can never get rid of it. And it's so horrible. But
– Well, I just want to say I respect how you honor him.
Galen, that really is what it boils down to for me. I'll tell you something right now, that if my town and my city and my community wanted to, you know, go full force in protesting my cousin's murder, you know, the way that Ferguson did, I don't think that I would have had a problem with that, because that is how I feel inside, how we feel inside, how all my family feels inside, how outraged we are that you are forced to be stifled because of, you know, if you, we don't want violence, you know, but sometimes you have to think, like, when will our leaders get it, that this is how bad these actions by the police officers hurt our community? When will they understand? It seems to be that in this situation, the only way they understand is when there is looting and rioting, as what happened in Oscar Grant's case and, you know, Rodney King. For years in between, we have, in between these incidents, we have, we fight every single day to get the attention of law enforcement and our leaders. Nobody wants to speak with us. Our senators, they don't want to speak with us. Our mayors, they all hide from us. We tried to go see, I actually was arrested trying to talk to Kamala Harris. She wouldn't come out of the office. Myself and eight others were arrested on February 13th in Oakland at the state building. So the people are here and ready to have these conversations and to fix what's wrong in our system. I can tell you from my own experience that they don't want to fix it, and that the police are given carte blanche in our cities and our communities to rule them however they feel that they want to. And unfortunately, they have all decided to rule with disrespect for the citizens, and they walk around with an air of superiority, and they are never held accountable. And that is a major problem, and that is what I feel is what is boiling over in Ferguson. That's what happened in Ferguson. Yes, we have militarization of the police, and we see that every single day in our police force, and obviously what their reaction was at Ferguson. But there is another problem here, and the problem is that the police are not being held accountable on a day-to-day basis, which then in turn is igniting and, you know, which is building up and then ultimately ignited the situation. What happened in Ferguson is all the people across this country who have been screaming for accountability, and Eric Garner was murdered. His murder still has not been arrested. My cousin's murderer was never arrested. No matter what happens, how much evidence we have against these police officers, they're never arrested. And that is the problem. The militarization, you know, is something I think a little bit separate. I mean, it's affecting us in that way, but the fact that our local police officers need to be held accountable, that is where it needs to begin, and that is the only way that the people are going to stop fighting right now. I mean, we don't plan on stopping anytime soon in our efforts until justice is served.
One of the things Dan mentioned in his interview was that one of the things citizens can do are call town halls. They don't have to be official. They just can do that. Another thing that you can do is spread the word, which is, of course, what you and I are doing here today. Has there been anything like a town hall intervention in your community, or have you tried it? Did you have any luck?
You know, we just had one. Well, let me just say that this is not new what's happening. So we have all families from across this country. We all work together, and we have been trying for years, I mean, some people 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, to get attention to these matters. So these things are not – the reason why we've been able to mobilize so quickly is because we've all already been doing this work for so long already that we were able to, like, cop block, cop watch. You know, what we say is we had to be our own media for the past however long. The last 5 years, we've all had to be our own media, because if we're not our own media, the mainstream media doesn't cover what's really happening in the streets, does not cover what the families and what the communities really have to say. So that's why we've already built up a following with these with live streaming and with these organizations, because the majority of people who are in the know, who are active citizens already, are familiar with the fact that mainstream doesn't report what's really happening or what's really important to the people. As far as town hall meetings go, I didn't attend it, but we had one last night in Sacramento. And, you know, it just seems, again, that our leaders are not getting it. Mayor Kevin Johnson, who is notoriously famous for being concerned with only one thing, and that is NBA, it's just a show. It's just we don't want to happen in Ferguson. We don't want to what happened in Ferguson happen here. And that's all that is said. It's all lip service. And, you know, that played out last night on the news where the citizens were not happy in saying that, you know, the bottom line is where we need to start is the police need to start respecting the citizens of the community that they serve. And that's, you know, our position. There is only one way that this ends, and that's the way that this heals. And that's that the police need to police themselves, and the people need to police the police. And until, I'm sorry, the police need to regulate their officers. And if they are not able to do that, which we've already shown, they've already shown that they can't do, the people need to police them. And that starts with officers who are committing crimes, for them to be fired, for them to be arrested. But what we see is officers going 3 years, 5 years with investigations open, and then finally being arrested or finally being charged with a, you know, slap on the wrist. But in the meantime, they've been off of duty or, you know, with our tax dollars. So there's a lot of problems with the way that, you know, these situations are being handled. Our town hall meeting was, you know, like I said, basically the fact that they're so out of tune with what is really going on. The police chief in Sacramento, Sacramento City Police Chief, said that once this dies down in Ferguson, then the people won't want to come to these town hall meetings. And I just, you know, it just proves that they don't know, because we have been trying. That's false. We've been trying to speak to these people and to get them to listen to us. But we don't want them to go and, you know, just show up for the cameras, and then like Kevin Johnson did, he was escorted out very quickly. He didn't even stay for the whole meeting. What does that tell the people? That tells us that you got your 5 minutes on the news camera and you don't really care about what's happening in the city enough to even, you know, stay for the duration of the meeting. And so we have this disconnect with our communities between our leaders and our police that, you know, we need to bridge it. And how does that happen? It's going to have to happen when the police and our leaders are willing to take that step, because the people are at their door knocking and they're just not answering.
But bridging the disconnect, I think, is the powerful notion there. How do you get from people who are concerned to people who can do something about it? And I do know that, we know that this isn't new. I'm old, you know. I'm 63 years old. I remember Kent State. I remember the reaction to student protests on campus back during the Vietnam War. And I thought we'd learned a lot, but it's come around full cycle, hasn't it? And there has been a National Day Against Police Brutality since 1995. So even in this, even in this sort of growing level of awareness, there we all feel isolated from one another. You know, so folks in Ferguson may not know about the folks in Sacramento, who may not know about the folks in, I mean, there's YouTube of folks here in Las Vegas, 15 of them lining up for public comment at a city council meeting, saying why they didn't want the police to be further militarized. You know, we have to let, someone else has to see that video besides those of us here in Las Vegas, right?
Mm-hmm.
We have on the line, I can bring into this conversation, Bobby Rodrigo, who was in on our conversation with Dan Johnson last night. So, Bobby, I am technically trying to open the, there you go. Welcome to Lunch with Loudon.
Good afternoon. How's everybody?
We're doing well, and I hope you've been listening. Christina is giving a very personal insight into the issue of appropriate police response and the difficulty of citizen intervention or citizen control over police response.
I actually heard some of the comments in the last 10 minutes. It was nice to listen to. Actually, appreciate all the work that you do, Christina. My first comment is that, well, Kevin Johnson got his little video for his re-election campaign saying that he cares for the people because, look, he's showing up at the town hall meeting. Unfortunately, they won't tell the truth, and we all know that our elected officials spend a lot of time getting reelected and not doing their job for the people, of course. So it would be wonderful to try and point that out. You also talked about how we are citizen journalists, and of course the Coffee Party is well in tune to that, and so is Panda, who I also work with. You heard about our discussion earlier with Dan and then some other organizations that I'm with, and you obviously are involved. And one of the things that I find interesting that is going against us, before we even get to the police subject, is how they are trying to limit citizen journalism, trying to classify us in a way that somehow doesn't give us the same First Amendment protections that we obviously have. And they're trying to say, well, you have to be a formal reporter in order to get them, which is ludicrous. And of course, it has nothing to do with what the Constitution says. But they're discussing that. And the Senate was actually considering legislation that would have hurt us. It just regular right. citizens to pass the word on.
So, Bobby, I don't know if you're on a speakerphone, but if you are, it would be better to be on a handset. We're having a little bit of trouble hearing you. But, Christina, I think you probably heard enough to sort of have a comment about the difficulty of being a citizen journalist.
Well, I just want to say that, you know, shame on Senator Dianne Feinstein for wanting to strip independent journalists of their rights. I am ashamed that, you know, she is even from our state. And, you know, most people feel that way in regards to the way that she is trying to, you know, limit our rights as citizens of this country. And I think that the most important thing I think that we have to look, if we look at a broad stroke in what's happening here in Ferguson, is the fact that our civil liberties are at jeopardy. And, you know, whether it goes from you being able to protest, whether it's from, you know, you being able to address your leaders or to film the police or to film anything that, you know, our government may or may not want us to do, we have that right as citizens, and we need to continue to uphold the Constitution, whether or not our elected officials want it or not. We have to continue to, you know, push that issue and the fact that we have constitutional rights, and if we don't have our Constitution, then the whole United States is just a farce, you know. Everything that we stand on, if we don't have our Constitution, what separates us from, you know, what separates our government from ISIS? I mean, that's really my question. The president was talking about ISIS, and everything he was saying, I thought, you're talking about the same thing that's happening to your own people by the police in this country right now. It's really, you know, I'm not saying they're chopping off heads, but they're blowing people in the brain with you know, in the head and in the eye with bullets. So, you know, I think that we need to continue to stand our ground for the right things and to, you know, expose our leaders, Dianne Feinstein and Kevin Johnson, whoever else, you know, wants to go against the people. We put you there for a reason, and it's not to take our rights away. It's to secure our rights and our liberty. And the other thing I wanted to say about the, you know, whole the journalist thing is, I don't know if you're aware of this, but in Fullerton, California, Callie Thomas was a schizophrenic homeless man who was murdered,
yes.
beaten to death by
yes.
Officers. And I was down there in Fullerton when the officers were acquitted of his murder.
Right.
And the police were literally rolling up in undercover cars and throwing citizen journalists into cars. We didn't even know who these people were, if they were police or what the heck was going on at the time. But they were literally rolling up, and there's video of this, which is so scary. I don't even...
Mm-hmm.
It's so scary to have American police pulling up in unmarked cars and literally grabbing citizens and throwing them into the back of a van or the back of a, you know, SUV without identifying themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just masked in all black military and throwing people in, and we don't know where they're at or where they were taken, all for the crime of filming the police.
Yeah, it's amazing.
That
first of all, I have to tell you that we need an applause button on this thing, because that was a bunch of wonderful things that you said, and it is refreshing to hear somebody call out politicians whenever they're doing something wrong. Feinstein is horrible when it comes to
of adhering to the Constitution, you can start with the NSA and the Patriot Act with Feinstein and go from there. I lived in California for 10 years, and I'm not surprised by anything anybody in California does from the police standpoint. I always said that the reason that O.J. was acquitted was because they were just getting back at the LAPD. It had nothing to do with the case. So I find your comments exhilarating to hear, because you don't on the radio, and it's nice to hear.
I don't know what that noise is, and I've been trying.
I don't either.
Oh, there it is. It's gone. Thank you, whoever corrected. Blog Talk is full of gremlins these days, and I don't know where these little sounds and things come from. So we just sort of get to incorporate them into our conversation. So thank you very much. Well, yeah, I'm sure it did, and it also sort of drowned you out there. So if you feel like you need to repeat, what I heard you say was that you have a lot of admiration for people who will stand their ground. And certainly while Coffee Party does not endorse candidates, nor do we denigrate candidates, when a name is associated with an action, that's fact. That's just a fact. And I'm pleased to have people share facts on this show. So I do have to ask you, Christina, I know that you've been involved in some action in Sacramento in support of Ferguson, and I'd love you to tell us about it.
Sure. Since my cousin died, I've been working with activists all across our state and country, and so we actually do have, you know, a network of families and active citizens who do call actions together and have been able to mobilize during this time. In Sacramento, we have held protests, I believe, like 5 days in a row. We will continue with our protests indefinitely. I mean, normally we are protesting pretty often in regards to police violence. I would say at least, you know, 2 to 3 times a month here in Sacramento. But we have basically, our goal right now, and as always, is to awaken the American public and to activate them into being a part of the solution to the problems that we have in our communities. One thing I think that we, you know, have seen is the fact that since Michael Brown was murdered, you know, we have had our own murders in California. Ezell Ford, a mentally ill man, was murdered in L.A. Omar Abrego was beaten in L.A. to death. And in Woodland, just this last week, we had police kill a mentally ill man and shot another man the very next day. So these are things that Ferguson is only amplifying the people's desire to see justice in their own communities. And so what we're doing is we are connecting with the people in Ferguson to find out what exactly they need, what support that they need. I can tell you that most every citizen that comes out or that contacts me, they all tell me that they just feel like they can't sit still. And, you know, so many people want to go to Ferguson, not riot and not to, you know, agitate the police, to wrap their arms around the people of Ferguson. And I think that, you know, Americans on, you know, pretty much the majority of us are good people who care about our liberties, who care about justice, and who care about each other. And I think that that's why this is so horrible for us, is to see a little town like Ferguson, 21,000 people, being under attack by our own government. It's scary for people. People are afraid. People are outraged. And people want to do something. So, you know, by letting people, the youth especially, come out and voice their concerns and their opinions and give us their ideas, that's what we're there for, to, you know, have an outlet for our community. And as well, you know, try to figure out how we can prevent these things from happening, you know, inside of our community, coupled with the fact that, you know, how are we as Americans, what will our legacy be in this situation? And what I would hope is at this time that, and what we're working on is to, you know, provide some humanitarian aid for the city and the people of Ferguson. If we go, you know, we're looking to take, you know, busloads of people down there to help repair and fix and, you know, bring aid to the people because they do need things. I mean, I talk to citizens in Ferguson who, you know, they need diapers and food and, you know, people haven't been able to go to work. Kids haven't been able to go to school. And, you know, that affects obviously them being having school clothes and school supplies because their parents haven't been able to work because of the upheaval in their city. And I just think that we need to just show our government how people need to be treated in this way and in this time. And so I think that the best thing that we could all do is to, you know, offer humanitarian support. And if we need to offer protection, then that's what we need to offer our people until our government can get it right and figure out that this is not the way you treat grieving people.
I was pleased to hear Dan's report about the Black Panthers assisting the citizens in self-policing. And I was distraught to hear that the police basically boycotted emergency response after there was a change of leadership in the police department. And so I think there's a lot to be said for both humanitarian aid and offers of protection. You also heard Dan call out to the so-called liberty movement, and I say so-called because he was calling them so-called, because, you know, where was the militia? Where were the people who stand up for the
exactly.
rights of other citizens? And I thought it was very poignant that he said that there was a huge number of people disappointed by the absence of those who claim to be the champions of liberty. And so one of the things I promised him in that interview was that I would put out the word that if you're a champion of liberty and you're not concerned about Ferguson, then maybe you ought to reconsider who you are. And now, you said that you're looking at humanitarian aid and maybe transporting people for support, sending diapers or food or school supplies. Is there a place people can contribute to that effort? Is there a way to contribute?
You know what? You know what? At this time, I haven't started with the whole money issue because, I mean, as we all know, that's a touchy thing. I wanted to have a plan in place before we asked the public for donations. But the truth of the matter is that that the people are just so ready to do, you know, something and anything. And when we, the people, can gather together, you know, we can make things happen fairly quickly. And I think that's one thing that our government needs to, you know, take note of. People with very little do a lot, and yet our government has a lot, and they do very little for us. And so in regards to the Oath Keepers, I do want to say something about the people on a Sunday because I actually was one person who, you know, when people were so outraged over them with their guns and, you know, called them, you know, right-wing and racist, you know, my position was if I believe in what I'm saying every single day that we all have our rights, then I have to believe and I have to allow those people to do their thing, to stand up for themselves and not judge them and give them, you know, the same, you know, respect that as far as, you know, their right to, you know, to bear arms and to, you know, stand up for what they believe in. I took a lot of flack from that, from my community of activists. And it, to me, you know, I know that there's racism in our country, and racism is a huge problem, and that's a subject for, you know, that's the reality of this is a racial thing that has, race is involved in what's happening here. But, since I had, you know, not that I supported them at the Bundy Ranch, but I at least, you know, supported their right to do what they needed to do. You know, they've just proven to people who, you know, were like me that, you know, I feel that they are a racist organization and that they only believe in the rights of white Americans or, you know, because we've also had them wanting to come out and prevent, you know, like the kids at the border and, you know, people who were involved in that to stop, you know, the children from coming in at the borders of California and other states. So, you know, I just have to say that not that I'm disappointed because I didn't expect anything from them, but, you know, they proved a lot of people right who were, you know, not supporting them. But we will, as soon as we know more about what we're going to do, because, again, this is a day-to-day situation where, you know, you're not sure, you know, is the cult, you honestly don't know, is the government going to wipe Ferguson off the map or something with a bomb? I mean, that's what we're like, what is going on here? We don't know. It's so touchy from day to day. But as we speak to the people in Ferguson and as we try to figure out how can we, what is the narrative going to be from this? And, you know, I think that the best thing we can do is just, like I said, show our government how to be peaceful, show our government how to restore peace and how to treat one another. I think that our government has a problem in the way that it treats its citizens. It's treating us as if we are enemy combatants. And, you know, why would our government treat us that way? That, you know, opens up a whole other door of, you know, what exactly are they planning for us and what exactly are their motives and the things that they do if, you know, every turn, you know, the people are constantly seeing injustice and this inhumanity. So I think that the thing that all of us can do is to continue to get connected in our communities with people who are doing the work. If your community is not doing the work, you can contact us at our Facebook page, which is End Police Terror Now. Facebook.com/EndPoliceTerrorNow. And we also have a, right now our website it only goes to a calendar of events, and you can find that at endpoliceterror.org. We'll have a calendar of events from all over the country so people can get involved in their area. They can contact me directly. I can put them in contact with somebody in their state who is having actions and how they can help. And as we get connected to one another, us being able to support Ferguson, you know, will be easy. I'm confident of that, and I'm confident of the, you know, the spirit of the people in our country.
Excellent, excellent. Well, any and all links that you'd like to promote, I've written these down. I'll post them on the Lunch with Loudon Facebook page. I'll share them far and wide. And the vision of the coffee party is, or the mission of the coffee party is building, nurturing, and connecting communities to reclaim our government for the people. I never read well, but you sort of get the gist. We really believe that the many, many diverse and amazing communities of America really do have more in common than they have than things that we or do not have in common, right? And so I think that by spreading the word, by talking to each other, by linking up with each other in social media, by watching the live streams that are posted on Lunch with Loudon now that are showing us what's going on in Ferguson, we'll be able to see the humanity, you know, not the shade of the crowd or the age of the crowd or the, you know, the vernacular of the crowd, you know, do they have a southern accent, do they have a northern accent, do they have a Hispanic accent. What we'll see is humanity facing the reality of a government that doesn't work for them or that could do better for them, right? And so I encourage folks to submit, you, Christina, and anyone you know, to submit those links to Lunch with Loudon on Facebook, and we'll do our part to spread the word. So we've come to the end of our hour. It's gone too fast. It's been amazing talking with you. And maybe let's get together in a little while, and we'll be able to look back and say, this all turned out well. What do you think?
Right. And I think that just as Michael Brown's mother said, that we want justice, and how that happens is with this officer being arrested. And I really think that, you know, all the things that we're talking about are great, and they need to happen, no doubt. But the fact of the matter still remains, and I want to put this out there because it's what I wholeheartedly believe in, and the reason why I'm working on this so hard is because the man, Darren Wilson, who murdered Michael Brown, needs to be brought to justice. And in our country, when you kill somebody, you are arrested, and then you are put on trial, and that needs to happen for police officers as well. And so until we see justice, which what is the majority of Americans feel is that officer being brought through our judicial system, then, you know, it'll be very hard for us to heal and to move on. So first things first, let's get our house in order, all police officers accountable, and then some to the people of the country.
Thank you. excellent last words. And we'll be in touch. Thanks, Christina.
Thanks.
So I'll finish, as always, with my NPR moment. Coffee Party USA is a totally crowdfunded organization. Citizens United has not benefited us. To become a voting member or to donate, go to www.coffeepartyusa.com. Block Talk Radio shows happen 3 times a week for Coffee Party. On Mondays, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, press 1 for democracy with Dan Aronson. Thursdays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, Here You Are, Lunch with Loudon. Saturdays, 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, Politics Done Right with Egberto Willis. It's been an amazing show. I've enjoyed our guests so much. Thank you to Dan Johnson. Thank you to Chris Consolences at the death of your cousin. And with that, Coffee Party on.
Down, you move too fast. You got to make the morning last. Just kicking down the cobblestones, looking for fun and feeling groovy. La 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 la, feeling groovy.